You're listening to a message from Gateway Fellowship. Be sure to check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.
When you think of God, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Just put that in that blank up there. What's the very first thing when you saw that slide that came to your mind? Thank you. Or maybe it's a series of words. Maybe it's just one word, but maybe it's a phrase. And for some of you, what you just did, I'm just going to ask you, just kind of write that down in your mind. Maybe if you're taking notes or in your Bible app or if you've launched YouVersion Live, put it there. Some of you just put the word faithfulness there. Faithful. He's a faithful God. Some of you just put, he's my healer, because this past week, you have experienced his healing. Some of you wrote provision, because God's provided for me, and maybe in a really, really miraculous way. Some of you have put almighty in all of these words that describe God. Some have maybe put questions. I got questions about God. Maybe you're here, and you're here at the invitation of a friend, or you just happened in on this holiday weekend, and you've never committed to your life. So maybe what you put is like, well, one of many. He's one of many gods. Maybe that's you today. Or maybe he's the big guy in the sky. Or maybe for some of you, he's the disciplinarian in your life. And so that's your view of God. We're going to be talking about that particularly today. You see, A.W. Tozer, and many of you have read him, said this about God. He said that what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into our mind when we think about God when we have our mind set on him, what we think about him is the most important thing about us. Listen to what the psalmist says. If you have your Bibles, you might want to go to Psalm 32, verse 8. Psalm 32, verse 8. And we'll be in the book of Psalms quite a bit this morning, so keep your finger there. Here's what it says. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. So if the psalmist were here today and he were to add words to that line, he would say, well, he's our guide. God is our guide. He guides us. He would say, well, he knows best. He would say he's a trustworthy God. He says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I'll advise you, and I'll watch over you. And I think he would also add the word wisdom. We're coming to the conclusion of this summer series called The Way of Wisdom. And if you've been hanging with us, you know that out of the five wisdom books, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, we've looked at two of those books. We spent some time in Job, and over the last number of weeks, we have spent time in Psalms. We'll be concluding next week the way of wisdom. But what we've talked about, that in the book of Psalms, 150 Psalms, they're broken into five different books, and that's why you read, if you're reading through Psalms, you'll read book one, book two, book three, book four, and book five. There are a number of teaching themes that began to surface based on the Psalms. So there are historical Psalms, there are messianic Psalms, and we've talked about Psalms of instruction. In fact, we did that a number of weeks ago, and then we talked about Psalms of praise and Psalms of confession. And today, we're gonna come to Psalms of supplication in just a moment. But there's something really, really important before we get to supplication. I'll explain what that is in just a moment. And it's found in Psalm 93 and Psalm 95. Now, they're coming up on the screen, and we'll get there in just a moment. But the pathway that we've been following as we read through Scripture, and I just encourage you you might want to use this in all of your Bible reading, but we're considering what does God say, what's the Scripture teaches about God and His character and His ways, and so we're using that as a pathway. Number two, what's the Scripture teach us about life? The life that we're living. And then what's it teaches about living? That is, what's our response to life? So that's kind of our pathway, and we're going to follow that again today. But Psalm chapter 93, verses 1 through 5, in fact, it's the entire psalm. You might want to turn there. Leads is something really important that I want to talk about this morning before we talk about prayers of supplication. The Lord is king. Verse number 1, he is robed in majesty. Indeed, the Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. The world stands firm and cannot be shaken. Your throne, O Lord, has stood from time immemorial. You yourself are from the everlasting past. The floods have risen up, O Lord. The floods have roared like thunder. The floods have lifted their pounding waves. But mightier than the violent raging of the seas, mightier than the breakers on the shore, the Lord above is mightier than these. Your royal laws cannot be changed. Your reign, O Lord, is forever and forever. And then just flip to Psalm 95. We'll read verses 1 through 7. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving, and let us sing psalms of praise to him. And then the psalmist says this, for the Lord is a great God, a great king above all gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands formed the dry land too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. If only you would listen to his voice today. Now, I mentioned to you, and we're looking at particular psalms of instruction and psalms of praise and confession and supplication, and next week, Thanksgiving, those teaching themes surface. But there's also something else that surfaces when you begin to read the Psalms, and they are particular worship themes. And so here's what you'll see. You'll see ceaseless worship. You'll see that begin to kind of surface when you read Psalms. You'll see adoring worship begin to surface. You'll see wondrous worship begin to surface. That's a worship theme that you find in the book of Psalms. But you find something else, and we're going to talk about it today because I believe it lays the groundwork for supplication, prayers of supplication, and it's this, submissive worship. Submissive worship. Just hang on to that for just a moment. What is submissive worship? Well, we know what worship means, right? Worship is honor, and worship is reverence. So we reverence God. We honor him in our worship and all that we do. And worship, by the way, isn't just when we come together like we are this morning in these gatherings throughout the day and then later this evening. Worship is our lives devoted to him and reverencing him. And we honor him. We worship him. But then submit. What does submit mean? Submit means yield. And so we're talking about submissive worship today. That is worship, honoring God, reverencing him, that yields our life to him. Submissive worship is yielding to God. It's recognizing who he is. It's honoring him. Most of all, it's yielding to him. It's trusting him. It's having faith in him in all of life. And it has much to do with lifting up our prayers of supplication and our prayers of need. It lays the groundwork. It lays the foundation. It's the attitude in which we come to him. Now, I'm not sure about you, but I'm one of those guys who really don't like giving up control. See, now, firstborn people, where are you? Because you're the same way, aren't you? Come on now. Don't leave me up here by myself. So, or if you're a middleborn like I am, but there's some distance either way, right? We don't like giving up control, do we? Not always. Not always. In fact, this, when I talk about yielding and giving up control, you're just sitting there right now, and you're just kind of bristling, just maybe just a little bit. I mean, it's you, it's me. When we go into the restroom at the restaurant and it says, wash your hands. You don't like that, do you? I don't either. Now, I wash my hands. However, you know, just like that, I want to be in control. And here we are talking about submissive worship that yields control to God. You see, submissive worship recognizes God is in control. Submissive worship gives God control. Think about that for just a moment. Submissive worship recognizes that God is in control. Submissive worship gives God control. It's the foundation. It's the basis for presenting our needs to him. I'll tell you why in just a moment. One of the things that really, really bugs me, when we're driving down the freeway, in fact, I was just kind of grousing at Jen just a little bit, not at her, but to her, because we were driving down the freeway, and sometimes, you know, I drive in the left lane or the middle lane or right lane, but when you're driving in the furthest most right lane, there's something that happens on the freeway. What is it? Yeah, merging. Who said merging? You get free coffee right there for that. Traffic merges, right, onto the freeway. Now, here's what the mergers read before they merge, right? They see this, right? What's the sign? It's a yield sign. And I have found that most people merging don't know what the yield sign means. You know what I mean? Because they expect what to happen? For you, for me, to slow down, to speed up, so that they can do what? Merge. But that's not what yielding is all about. You yield to that person, and then you fit in. Now just think about that for just a moment. Submissive worship, yielding to God. Don't raise your hand, but how many of us, if we were to be really, really honest here, when we talk about submissive worship and we talk about yielding to God, we're just like that person who doesn't know how to merge. And we're saying, God, speed up just a little bit. God, slow down a little bit. God, I'm moving in right here, right now, at this time. Rather than yielding to Him, we're kind of pushing our way in and we're saying, speed up. Or slow down. Because God, really? I'd like it if you would yield to me. And you would merge into my life. But see, submissive worship doesn't do that. Submissive worship yields to God. Submissive worship trusts Him. Submissive worship says, God, you're in control, and I'm yielding my life to you. Psalm 100, verse 3 says this: acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. He is God. We're His people. We're the sheep of His pasture. And we're called into submissive worship and a life that yields to Him. Now, there are two realities in life I want to share with him for the Jesus follower. Actually, one applies to all of us, and one applies to the Jesus follower. There's a reality of the world in which we live. I don't need to tell you, you don't need anybody to tell you, that we live in a broken and busted world, don't we? Filled with decay, filled with corruption, but right in the middle of all that, there's God. Check it out.
But can we done?
Yes.
Thank God for that.
God? Yeah, what do you mean?
What do I mean? Who in this day and age believes in a God?
Well, I do. Why is that?
Obviously you haven't noticed the wars, destruction, poverty, everything's gone wrong in this world.
Yeah, well, I don't mean dentists. What do you think about it? If there's such a thing as dentists, then why do so many people have broken, infected, and missing teeth?
I can't help it. People are stupid enough to come to the dentist and get their teeth fixed up and their mouth fixed up.
Exactly. And that's the same way with God. He can't help anyone who doesn't come to Him, but they insist on doing things their own way.
Yeah, it's a broken world, isn't it? But God is here. We live in a world, the reality of the world in which we live in a world that changes quickly. And across your computer screens and your tablets and your smartphones and your TV, there's this breaking news. And it seems like it happens all the time because we live in a corrupt world. And we live in a world where we have needs. We have needs. There's a Greek proverb that says, a bow that is always bent will soon break. The bow that is always bent will soon break. And what that proverb implies is this, that the bow that's always under pressure, that never has the opportunity to let go, soon breaks. But here's the good news. Even if that proverb, that Greek proverb, describes you today, if you're a Jesus follower, there's an opportunity to let go. And that's what we're talking about today. There's an opportunity to let go and understand and know that even though we live in a world where there are a lot of pressures, and there are a lot of needs in our life, there is the opportunity, right in the middle of all that, to come to God in submissive worship and yield to him and then let go. There's the reality of the world that we live in. But there's another reality, and that's what we're talking about. This is teaching theme that begins to surface, that surfaces in Psalms, and it's this. Prayer's a supplication. Prayer's a supplication. Now, what does that mean? Supplication is just presenting our needs to him. It's presenting our needs. It's, you don't, mom and dad, you don't come to your kids and you don't say, what's your supplication today? I mean, you know, that's not even a word that we use, right, usually. But it simply means we have the opportunity as a Jesus follower to present our needs to him. Supplication is just means the action of asking for something earnestly or humbly. It's just saying, God, right in the middle of the world that I live in, here are my needs. I come to you in submissive worship. I yield to you. I trust in you. And here's my need. Psalm 86, verses 1 and 2 is a prayer of supplication, a presenting of needs, and we're instructed to lift these prayers. And by the way, when we do, guess what? We're not bothering God. Now, some of us need to hear that today. We're not bothering God when we knock and we ask. In fact, he instructs us to do that. Listen to Psalm 86, verses 1 through 2. Bend down, O Lord, and hear my prayer. Answer me, for I need your help. Protect me, for I'm devoted to you. Save me, for I serve you and I trust you. You are my God. You're my God. Bend down, God. Hear me. Right in the middle of the life that I'm living, I have these needs. I offer them to you. I lift these prayers to you. I'm devoted to you. Save me. And here it is. I serve you and I trust you. While we present our needs to him, we offer up submissive worship that yields our life to him, my life to him, and trust him, and we have faith in him that God will do what he knows best for me and best for you. A prayer of supplication is asking God for something. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by what? By prayer and, lifting our needs to him, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And then what happens? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. That means that right in the middle of life, as we yield our life to him, as we place our trust in him, as we say, God, you're in control. I'm not asking you to merge with me. You're in control. Right in the middle of that, there's this peace that comes into the heart of a Jesus follower that goes beyond our ability to understand. And we realize that when we release our life to him, when we release our relationships to him, when we release our businesses to him, when we release our finances to him, when we release all of our needs to him, there's this peace that settles on you and on me. It goes beyond our understanding, meaning we can't quite figure it out, but it's a peace from God. Followers of Jesus should be prayerful instead of anxious. And so many times we fall into that arena of being anxious about things and worrying about life. And Jesus calls us to prayer to offer our needs to him. What is clear is that submissive worship that trusts and yields to God in all of life realizes that whatever God sends our way is for our good and his peace follows. So I was thinking about the teaching this morning. I woke up early one morning. I thought about an example in the Old Testament, in the book of 2 Chronicles. And what you're going to see here in the life of King Jehoshaphat is this very thing that we're talking about. Submissive worship, that is yielding and trusting to God, and then a presentation of needs. Now, right in the middle of all life, Jehoshaphat has a problem because there are mighty armies coming against him. By the way, we got to be really, really careful that when we read scripture, we read it in sometimes 2 or 3 minutes, but you got to get yourself into the story here and understand what was going on. Jehoshaphat, there were armies coming against him. That was his life. Talk about the reality of life here. There were armies coming against him. So Jehoshaphat, the Bible says in verse 3 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20 that he was terrified. He was afraid. And he begged the Lord for guidance. And he also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. And so here's what happened. People came from all over the place, the towns of Judah, and they came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat stands before them and he offers up this prayer. And you can read it when you get home, 2 Chronicles chapter 5, down through about verse 15. And he offers up this prayer and he recognizes all that God has done. But listen, here come the instructions to him. In verse number 15, he says, instruction from the God, from the prophet, from God to the prophet. He said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Now just think about yielding to God and think about trusting him. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Now listen, there are armies coming. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Now, right there, if I'm Jehoshaphat and I'm hearing that, and the others, I'm thinking, yeah, right on, because we are going to show them, aren't we, God? We're going to show them. But listen to what happens. Tomorrow, march out against them. That's good. You'll find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jericho, but you will not even need to fight. So far, so good. Next part, next sentence. Take your position, then stand still and watch. Time out here, God. Get all these armies coming. And what's he called Jehoshaphat to do with his people? Stand still. Stand still. Time out here, God. That really feels awkward. Because right in the middle of life, and all these, stand still. Time out, God. It's like, can we come up with a different plan? You know, one where, you know, there are flaming swords and angels all over that, you know, that people can see, but you're calling us to stand still? Time out, God. That's not what I want to do. And what do? We begin pushing in to the lane. God, that's not what I want to do. Yet he calls us to yield to him in submissive worship and place our life in his hands, to trust him, to have faith in him. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. For he is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Let me ask you a question today. Where is it that Jesus is telling you to stand still, to yield to him in your life? Think about it. Now, you've been trying to kind of merge in and kind of, hey, God, could you speed up or slow down just a little bit? But where is he calling you to stand still? Where is he calling you to yield to him in your life? Stand still, Jehoshaphat, and just watch God work. Where is he calling you in your relationships, in your business, in your life, where is he calling you right in the middle of this life to stand still and to yield to him in submissive worship? Thank God he has called us to do what? Present our needs to him. He does. But we do so in an attitude that says, God, I trust you, that whatever you bring my way, I submit to you because it's for my good. And I can enjoy the peace of God. We don't have to be afraid and we don't have to be discouraged because God is with us. What do we learn about God? His character and his ways. That God is powerful and he has a listening ear. That's what we learn. What do we learn about life? Well, sometimes the bow is bent and it's almost ready to break. There are challenges in life and you're experiencing them and I experience. But we got to go to the next one. What do we learn about living, or our response to life? The necessity of living a life of submissive worship. That is yielding to God, trusting God, and then lifting up our needs to him. We're going to enter into a time of worship and then we're going to be coming to the Lord's table in just a moment. as we do, I just want you and I just encourage you maybe to submit yourself in brand new ways today. Maybe you are one of those. We talked about merging, that's your life. I mean, here's what you've wanted to do. You've wanted God to kind of yield to you. And if you were really, really honest, that's where you are today. But as we worship Him and as we gather around the table, as we present our needs to Him today, can we find ourselves in that place that says, God, I just want to yield to you. I haven't been doing a really good job of it. And let's be honest, sometimes none of us do. But I want to yield my life to you. I want to trust you. I want to have faith in you. And where Jesus is calling you to stand still, stand still. Where He's calling you to do this, do that. Whatever it is, it's a life that yields itself to God. Let's sing. What area in your life is Jesus speaking to you about yielding to Him right now? As we sing that, let's offer that up to Him. Let's be honest with God. God, I want to yield this to you. I've been in control, but God, I give you control today. What is it that Jesus is calling you to yield today? Your life, your relationships, your needs, whatever it is, I yield to you. And then as we place our trust in Him, let's offer up our needs to Him too, whatever they are, shall we? And I'm just going to pray that the peace of God that Philippians talks about just settles on you today. As we sing, let's do that together, shall we? Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 3. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. Just think of this now. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed us His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. That's the joy that we come to Him during this time, isn't it? We gather around the table. We've confessed our sins to Him. We're His people. We're His children. He came at just the right time for you and for me. Here's what I'd like for you to do. I asked you at the start, what's the one word that comes to your mind, or maybe the phrase that comes to your mind when you think about God? And would you just take a moment, would you just, you know, anyone who would, just shout out that word, whatever it is, or whatever that phrase is. When you think of God, or you think of this time, what comes to your mind? Love? Fatherhood? What was it? Okay, right back here. What else? Healer? Able? Yeah. What else? Yeah. Exactly. I mean, do you think that we could just go on and on and on today, and we just boot the 11 o'clock gathering right out, and we'd boot the 5 o'clock gathering right out? Because there just isn't enough time, is there, to consider all that He's done for us. And so, Father, as we come to Your table again today, people who have confessed our need for You for salvation, and during this time of our response, God, we've even confessed that we've tried to take control. And we've stepped in when we shouldn't have. Instead of yielding to You, God, we've asked You to yield to us. We've confessed that today. God, I'm so thankful that as we come to You, as we submit our lives to You, the One who so clearly loves us beyond anything that we could ever imagine, the God who gave up His Son for us, at just the right time, You have called us to present our needs to You. So we recognize Your broken body. It's broken so that we might be made whole in every way, physically, emotionally, spiritually, in every way in life. As we've offered up our needs to you today, God, we receive that healing from you, whatever is needed. As we take the cup, as we partake together, God, we thank you for doing what we could never do on our own. We could never earn our way. You just called us to have faith in you, to trust you, to give our lives to you. And you would cleanse us, and you would set us free, and you'd make us brand new people. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take the bread together, shall we? Let's take the cup together. And let's just take a few moments, shall we, just to thank him for who he is. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that when we leave this place in a few minutes, we don't go alone. You're with us every step of the way. Our life is in you. Thankful, Lord, that the things that used to bind us, that would grip us, the sin that would grip us, God, we've been released from. Our hearts are set free to worship you, to submit our lives to you, and to worship you freely. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, shall we? I'm going to have a concluding prayer in just a moment. But here's what I want to invite you to do. If you're here, we've been singing this song that says, my heart is free and the chains have been broken. And I live in freedom. You're looking around me, but the people around you, you're going like, that's not me. I don't feel that. And maybe it's because you've never placed your trust in Jesus at all. Or maybe you have found your life has just drifted way away. I'm going to pray. And as I do, I'm going to pray for you. And I just invite you to join me in the prayer. Maybe it's for the very first time that you're going to say, Jesus, I trust in you. I want to believe in you, and I want to submit my life to you. And I do that. Or maybe you're one of those, and you've kind of drifted. And today, you're just feeling that tug, man. It's the Holy Spirit. Gateway has heard me say this a lot, that Jesus never speaks to us. We use that word conviction. He never points things out in our life to hurt us, but only to heal us. And he's drawing you right now. Can we pray? Father, I thank you for the freedom that is found through life in you, in Christ. And so, God, I pray, and if you're here today and you've never placed your faith or your trust in Jesus, it's as simple as saying, Jesus, I ask you into my life. I trust you. I put my life into your hands. I confess my need for you. And I ask you to come in to my life and to forgive me. If you pray that prayer, the good news is has nothing to do with what you've done, has everything to do with what we've celebrated today, what Jesus has done for you, and you have brand new life. If you're here and you maybe find yourself and you've drifted away, but you're kind of feeling that tug, like we sometimes call it conviction, or Jesus is drawing you back to him. He's kind of pointing out something in your life. He wants to deal with, he wants to draw you. And right now you're saying, God, I come back to you. The good news is, thank God for forgiveness, because we've all needed it. And we've all been there. And we come to him. Jesus, we come to you, and I give you my life again. I submit to you. I thank you for drawing me to you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Let's thank the Lord, shall we? Amen. 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 Thank you so much for being with us on this Labor Day weekend, for taking your holiday and being a part. If you're brand new here today and we've not yet met, I hang out in the lobby here in just a few moments. So hope that we can meet. On your way out, would you just grab this growth group catalog and take it with you? We have a couple of weeks to sign up for groups, and some of them are going to fill up fast. And so you can sign online, and there are particular instructions there. So thanks for doing that. Also, Mark mentioned that blue flyer. It's a kind of a good news, bad news. The good news is our children's ministries has literally just expanded beyond. It's just exploded. And so we have many babies in and they're coming. And a couple weeks ago, we didn't have enough people to take care of all of the babies, so we need help. And so what that looks like is some of you are really, really good at just holding babies. Guess what? There's a place for you to serve. And then, like I always say, some of you, you know, we don't want you there doing that, you know, but lots of you we do. So there's opportunities from just like holding babies and being a part of what God's doing in our children's ministry. So thank you so much. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.
To find out more about Gateway Fellowship or our terms of use, check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.